Well, some of the stories we just heard about fracking and water contamination could have come straight out of novelist Jennifer Haig's new book, Heat and Light. Haig grew up in Cambria County, and some of her novels are set in the fictional Bakerton. It's a small town in rural western Pennsylvania with a legacy of coal mining and a future poised on the promise of fracking. I spoke with Haig about her new book by phone from her home in Boston. One of the characters is Rich Devlin. He's a corrections officer who grew up in Bakerton and is still living there with a young family. But he has this dream. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what his hopes for the future are and how the fracking industry that comes to town plays into that.
Rich is very much at the center of the story. He's a prison guard by day. At night, he helps out his father. His father owns a bar in town. His dream one day is to run a dairy farm, as his grandfather did. He inherited this piece of property from his grandfather. It is a dream that is completely beyond his grasp. As a prison guard, he doesn't earn the kind of money that's ever going to allow him to make the initial investment in farming. But in 2010, when this gas company comes to town and landmen are going door to door offering to lease mineral rights, it seems to Rich that this is winning the lottery. This is the one and only opportunity he's ever going to have to realize this dream of being a farmer.
It's such a disappointment to him that, you know, you follow his character throughout the book and you are really sort of almost pulling for him in a way, and you can just sort of see it start to unravel. He comes to believe that his water has been contaminated by the industry.
Yeah.
There's no bad guy in the book, I would say. It's sort of told from a lot of different perspectives, but there are a lot of negative depictions of how energy has taken its toll on the landscape. And there's this sort of juxtaposition of verdant farmland and overgrown creek beds and fireflies. And, you know, what happens to Rich Devlin's property, right? With the forest gone, the property looks smaller than 60 acres, stripped and shrunken like a dog in a bath. Does that point of view come from how you see the land and what's happening and happened to it?
You know, the land in western Pennsylvania is something of a battleground, and you know this because you're from this region. You know, Pennsylvania had the first oil wells in the world. Most people don't know that. Then we had 150 years of coal operators running roughshod over the state. We had the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster. So Pennsylvania has always been on the front lines of energy and has often paid a terrible price for this. Last summer, I spent in southern Ohio. I was collecting oral histories from people who have been impacted by fracking in one way or another. And this part of southern Ohio is not wealthy. It's a working class communities that recently have lost their work and have been struggling for a generation. When I talked to people about the environmental consequences of fracking, they were very quick to point out, well, coal mining wasn't clean either. Steel making wasn't clean either. And it's true that people in this part of the world have a different relationship to environmental damage because it is something we have lived with for generations.
Yeah, at one point in the book, and this is sort of towards the end, there's a geologist who is also an industry consultant and her former teacher who is a geologist and an anti-fracking activist. And they have this argument. And she says, look, you know, what you're failing to understand with all your protests is that people want fracking. They want the money and the investment. And he says, people are idiots. And I think, you know, it gets to the idea that Pennsylvania has always been this very particular place that maybe people in other parts of the country don't understand. You know, as someone who lives on the outside now, who doesn't live in this region, do you see it more, or the people that you talk to see it more as a benefit for those who've lived among these industries for so long, or has it been more of a curse?
It's both. In Boston, where I live now, when you talk to people about fracking, the viewpoint is pretty uniform. People agree that this is an environmental disaster in the making, and they cannot conceive of why any community would consent to this. When I go back to Western Pennsylvania, the conversation is very different. And I've come to realize in the 5 years I spent writing this book that it really comes down to a class question. To be able to look at fracking as just an environmental issue means you're coming from a position of privilege. To people who live in these communities who've been living in poverty, that's a luxury they can't afford. It is much, much more complex than that. And that's what Heat and Light tries to get at, the real human complexity of this question.
Did you have an opinion about fracking before you started?
I did, and I still do, but in the process of writing the book, my opinion was constantly shifting. It's the magic of writing in a point of view. As a fiction writer, I can't approach a book like this with an agenda. This is not an anti-fracking screed. What I did in this book is try to articulate fairly why all these people believe as they believe and do as they do. It's partly why the book ended up with such a large cast of characters, that the issue is so much more complicated than I realized when I started writing the book, that I found myself constantly inventing these new characters who inhabit different parts of the argument so that I can show accurately where they're coming from.
Why did you decide that you wanted to write about fracking to take on this topic?
I've never been so much interested in fracking as I am in exploring the soul of a place and how the actions we take as individuals impact what happens to the soul of a place. That's what I was writing about in Baker Towers when I was writing about coal mining. That's what I was writing about in News from Heaven, about the aftermath of coal mining. And the reason I thought I was done writing about that town was that it seemed nothing more was ever going to happen there. It seemed like the town was ready to just dry up and blow away until gas exploration started. Once the Marcellus exploration began in Pennsylvania, I could not write it. It was this unexpected third act for a region that didn't seem like it was going to get one. It came as a total surprise to a lot of people and to me. So I couldn't pass it up.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Jennifer Haig is the author of Heat and Light. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.